Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, my next guest is one of my favorite follows on Twitter. You should follow him as well. George Reister, former Oregon Duck, former NFL tight end. Check out his podcast. He is opinionated. He's outspoken. He's funny. And he's with us now. Where are you today, George?
I am in my my man cave slash home studio. Yeah, at our home, getting ready for shows and podcasts like usual.
I love that. What's it been like for you to be in a home studio in this era?
Dude, it's actually been a blessing because of the coronavirus. And like I always say, that the best ability, whether it's in life or sports or anything, is availability. And I was fortunate enough that when everything started, everybody didn't have the equipment to be able to work from home. So I got everything I needed, and that's enabled me to do way more shows, because I do a show on Sundays on Fox Sports Radio Series 83, which is also heard in Portland and all over Oregon as well. And so I've been able to do The Odd Couple, just so many other shows just because I was available. So it's been very, very beneficial. The podcast grew 40% in the last month, Reister or Wrong. So I'm super excited, man.
George Reister with us. You may have remembered him from his time at Oregon or the NFL. George, yesterday, the NBA, big day in sports. I thought it was an important day. The Bucks walk off. I immediately went, what's George going to say? You feel like that in the bubble, they have more impact. And I'm glad they're staying in the bubble, too. It looks like they're going to play. But I think they got the attention of the world. Where do you stand on what happened?
So the first thing is that I wanted to applaud them, because the era that we're in now, athletes really understand their power and their value. You know, that they're not just there to just show up and play. But, you know, like for so long, people would get mad at Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, whoever it was. Oh, you don't do enough in the community. You don't do this. And now they want players to shut up and dribble. And that's not going to happen. But as it related to the Bucks, initially, my first thought was, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I wanted you to play. Because I do believe that when you are visible, that you have the biggest potential impact. I mean, you look at the social justice messages on the floor, on the back of the uniforms, any of that. Because if the players don't play, then the people who don't want to hear it, they don't want to acknowledge it, they don't want to see change or progress, or aren't comfortable having some of these conversations, then they get what they want, which is you silent, you out of the way. I mean, as good a work as, you know, people do in the community silently and all of that, it doesn't get the same attention, press, and notoriety, which can affect change, as it does when you are in people's face on television every day.
The conversation in that players' meeting, I am dying to know how that went. I would have loved to hear it, because I think it was such important conversation. You've been in team meetings. You've been in important meetings like that. What is a meeting like that like when a big issue comes up?
Well, you're always going to have different people on different sides of it, and everybody has to figure out what the best move is for everybody, because like you can't move individually. Because, you know, everybody has stated that their goal is the same. But if you look through history, no matter what the issue is, regardless of whether it's the Vietnam War, the Civil Rights Movement, Like how to figure out how to raise money for your PTA groups, whatever it is. Like, people can be on the same side of an issue but have different thoughts about how the actual implementation of that should look. And I think that that's what you had at that meeting, because it was reported that the Clippers and the Lakers voted to end the season, and everybody else was like, no, let's play. So I just thought that the conversation wasn't just about the NBA players, because yes, I do believe that LeBron was a little bit upset that nobody talked to him and Chris Paul, who are some of the heads of the NBA PA, about it before the Bucks decided to not play, which would have been the right thing to do. But when you had the MLS get on board, three MLB games were shut down. The WNBA, it obviously showed that it was a bigger impact. And truthfully, when you impact the money in life, that's when you can actually see a change. If you don't impact the money and make the people who are most powerful uncomfortable and say, hold up, we have to take notice of this, then you can boycott, you can strike, you can do whatever it is that you want. But if you don't cause them to be uncomfortable, then there's no way that there's going to be change.
George Reister with us, former NFL player, former Oregon Duck. You can hear him on Fox Sports Radio on the weekend, and you can catch his podcast as well. George, Tommy Smith, and, we think back to 1968, John Carlos. They made a statement. It was a powerful statement. What I don't want to happen is 50 years from now, we look back and we go, oh, remember when the NBA players made a statement and then very little changed? How can we be sure that we can get change? Because I think a lot of us want a country where everybody feels safe, everybody feels valued. How do we get there?
I would say that the NBA players, if they don't actually have some ash before returning to work, then that's an issue. They already have the NBA owners committing to $300 million to improve minority communities and opportunities, which is a big deal. But even bigger than that is these owners have political influence in the cities that their teams are in. And I'm a person, one of my former teammates is a police officer in, well, two of them at least that I know of, Kevin Mitchell and Allen Amundsen, out there in Oregon. And I have friends, even more friends that are police officers, family members who are in law enforcement. So I do believe that there are a ton of good police officers, but the way that some of the laws and regulations about supporting police officers when they are accused of crimes and all of this, they are that they don't serve the best interests of the public. So if you can have the owners use their power and influence to make sure that the bad police officers are run out of there, that they are prosecuted, convicted, and not hired in other places, I think that that's one of the biggest changes that you can do, because a lot of times people get focused on death. They're like, oh, how many people were shot and killed? But it's actually excessive force, which is not only a black and white issue, but it's also a socioeconomic issue, because poor white people also are treated badly by the police as well. So it's a socioeconomic issue, but then for other people it's socioeconomic, and then there's a racial element on top of it too, which kind of doubles the impact.
George Reister with us. I'm eager to hear, too. I think it's important that the players come out of this with a plan. What do you think changed in athletes? Because you mentioned that. Like, we did see an era where the athletes were more concerned about their brand, and they weren't willing to, say how they felt about a lot of issues. Now we're seeing the opposite end of the spectrum. What changed?
I would say it changed. The NBA players, ironically, have been kind of the spearhead and the catalyst for a lot of this, because they do make so much money, and they are more powerful essentially than the coaches. And one great player can impact winning and losing more in basketball than he can in football or any other sport. So remember maybe like 5 or 6 years ago when we really started seeing, you know, players have more influence over the roster and controlling, like, no, I want to be traded, I'm out, like, you need to trade me. Like, that started with the NBA. And then it trickled over into the NFL, the MLB, and now, and then you had LeBron really focusing on, I'm more than an athlete. And when you started having people realize that their brands are valuable, I mean, and even me and you, John, like in our business, your brand is the most valuable thing, because everybody used to want to work for a network. They used to want to work for a specific company to like help them elevate their brand, and they were attached to the company. But now people, whatever job they're in, they realize that building your brand is more important, because it's the importable wherever it is that you go. So now that players realize that their brands are so valuable in terms of being more than an athlete, and that you have to do something after athletics, that has kind of spearheaded the mentality of, hold up, I'm not just here to get to win rings, get money. I'm actually in this to set myself up for the future and my family as well.
George Reister with us. Well put. Pac-12 yesterday. I want to talk a little bit of football because you've been tuned into this as well. Pac-12 laid off a bunch of people in the conference office and in the network office. We're all slapping our foreheads going, what's wrong with the Pac-12? What do you make of the Pac-12, and what does it need to do?
The first thing is you have to get rid of the grifter that is Larry Scott. Like, dude, if this dude was a plant from the SEC sent to screw up the Pac-12, what would he have done differently?
That's a great point.
I mean, it's just a shame. Oh, okay. I mean, like, let's just look at fiscal responsibility, which I have been all over as it relates to colleges in general. But we'll get to that in a second. But the Pac-12. I just said that the most important ability in sports is availability. And the Pac-12 is only in about 18 million homes across the country. Compared to 100 plus million for every other conference. Like, when you're not available for people to see, understand, and appreciate your game, then you let the other networks who have deals with other conferences write the narrative for you. And the idea that you own 100% of the Pac-12 network, it doesn't matter. Like, in business, it's better to own 49 like the SEC or 51 like the Big Ten does of your media rights, percentage of your media rights of a ton, than it is to own 100% of not very much. And the idea that they were just going to sell it to a Apple or some investor or something else, it was just foolish. And then your operating costs are six to eight times higher than every other conference. You have the highest paid commissioner. I mean, the headquarters, you're paying $7 million in rent in San Francisco, instead of moving it to a fiscally responsible location, then you would need to lay off 88 people. It's just bad. And granted, he did a good job with tennis, but he hasn't been forward thinking enough as it relates to making the Pac-12 available.
Well put, George. I love that. You called him a grifter. It's true, though. It's like, I look at it and I see a guy making $5.3 million, and Greg Sankey in the SEC makes $2 million. And I go, okay, this is not right.
Yeah, like, what is wrong with that picture? And then he's trying to say, oh, yeah, I need a new contract now. That way I can get these TV rights negotiated. And it's like, dude, you're not seeing the future. The ACC made their the ACC network available on Hulu, YouTube TV, all of that. And I've been saying that for, I said that like a year and a half ago. I was like, this is the future. People are cord cutting. Stop worrying about the DirecTV contract. Stop worrying about anything like that. Get available. Get on Amazon Prime because they're going to start coming out with stuff. Apple TV. Stop trying to worry about how much you're going to make initially. Get yourself available, and then which impacts recruiting because everybody else they get to write the narrative. So when you have recruits, they're like, oh, I would love for my family to see the game. And you're competing, and you're Washington, and you're competing with Michigan for a kid, or you're, you know, USC competing with Alabama for a kid, and it's like, hey, yo, well, you know, you can go to the Pac-12 and, you know, and not be visible and not have people see your games, your family, or you can watch us on CBS, ESPN, and you don't have to do it on a Thursday or a Friday night.
All right, you're the commissioner. I put you in charge now.
Dude, I promise you, if I were the commissioner, the first thing I would do is put very smart people around me because it's important to know what you don't know. And in the Pac-12, you have Larry Scott doing two jobs poorly. He's the commissioner and he's also the head of the Pac-12 networks, which the first thing is that's two separate jobs. So there should be two specialist in each job, and we've seen, so he's failed in the commissioner job because we've had all sorts of scandals, everything with the LA Times that you reported magnificently about, everything from the officiating, George, all of this.
George, I gotta run. You're fantastic. Follow George Reister on social media. George, thank you. We'll bring you back.
Yes, sir.
All right, there he is, former Oregon Duck, former NFL player. Catch him on Sirius XM Radio. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Great stuff. Coming up on the other side of the break here, we're going to talk about what's going on in Arizona. They may have stumbled onto something that can help with the coronavirus pandemic. They stopped an outbreak before it started. How about them apples? How they found this and how they did this was pretty ingenious. I want to know more. I'm not declaring that this is the answer. But they apparently stopped an outbreak that hadn't even started yet. I'll tell you more about it after the break. We've got a soccer coach at the University of Portland who has one of the top five recruiting classes in the country. He'll talk about that coming up as well. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. I appreciate that you make this radio show part of your day. And we'll hear Alabama Adriana's voice after this as well, I promise.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.